May one use their milchik dishes to eat cold fleishiks or vice versa? Would you be able to eat cold milchiks inside of your fleishik dishes? Furthermore, if you go away to a hotel, if you're a business traveler, you're on vacation, you go to an Airbnb, would you be able to use the dishes at that Airbnb? So the answer to the questions are as follows. In principle, you would be allowed to use your meat dishes for cold milk or your milk dishes for cold meat, but only b'derech arai, only in a temporary manner. And Shulchan Aruch tells us that Minhag Yisrael is to make special kelim, special utensils and containers only for meat and only for milk, and to stick to those designations. However, if you are a business traveler or you're traveling out of town, then the accepted halacha for using non-kosher kelim in a temporary context is as follows. One may use treif kelim for cold kosher food, because so long as the food and keli are cold, no taste transfer can occur. So, one be permitted to use a hotel or Airbnb utensils for things such as salad, cold drinks, yogurt, cheese, cereal, and milk. One, however, should refrain from using a knife in a hotel or a guest house to cut sharp foods such as onions or garlic. Practically speaking, the Petini Halacha has an interesting wrinkle here, which is that if you're going to a guest house or hotel owned by a non-Jew or by a franchise, then it's less problematic to use the kelim because there, the fact that the kelim were not toivold is not a problem. However, if you're, as is very commonly the case in Israel, and you're going to a hotel or guest house which is run by somebody who does not keep Torah mitzvahs, then since they did not toivel their kelim, it's more problematic for you as a Jew to use their untoiveled kelim, so there would be more grounds to avoid using their kelim and bring your own. So that's the bottom line halacha. But in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Basa B'cholov, Siman Tzadi Aleph, Ois Beis, Sif Beis, we'll learn the background and discussion behind these dinim. The discussion begins with the Gemara in Chulin of Chesem and Beis. There we learn, Om Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, HaTabach Tzor Yeshleish Sakinin, a butcher must have three knives. Achas Sheshechit Bo, one which he uses to slaughter animals, the Echod Shemechatek Bo Basar, and a second knife which he uses to cut up meats, the Echod Shemechatek Bo Chalovim, and one which he uses to cut up the forbidden fats. The Gemara asks, why shouldn't he only have one knife? And first, cut the meat with that knife, and only then cut off the non-kosher fat, and thereby you're not going to have any problematic mixing. So the Gemara answer is, it's a precautionary measure to make sure that he won't inadvertently first cut the non-kosher fats and then not wipe off the knife and start cutting the kosher meat, and then get the non-kosher fat all over the kosher meat. The Rabbi Yehuda stated a further tradition, which pertains to having separate kelim to make sure you won't have a mixture of kosher and non-kosher. Hatabich tzorich shtei kelim shel mayim. A butcher must have two containers of water. Echad shemediach by basar, one which he uses to rinse off meat. The echad shemediach by chalavim, and one which he uses to rinse off the forbidden fats. The Gemara asks, "Niskanei chada v'niach by v'nadiach by basar v'holder nadiach by chalavim." Shouldn't the fellow only have one? He should only have one bowl, and use the water inside of that bowl to first wash off, to rinse off the kosher meat, and only then wash off the burnt fats. The Gemara similarly answers, there's a concern that he might come to rinse off the forbidden fats and then rinse off the meat. And there will be some residue of forbidden fat inside the rinsing bowl, and that will get onto the kosher meat. Then the Gemara asks, Hashanami Mechlefeleg. Even if he has two bowls, one for forbidden fats and one for meat, it could be that maybe he'll get mixed up and also try on the bowls. The Gemara answers, Kaven Atzuchinatarti Isleakeira. Since he required him to have two bowls, he'll be mindful and he'll recognize and know not to mix up the two. However, there's a Gemara in Pesachim which has something of a different implication. The Gemara in Pesachim Lamedom and Bey says, Amar Rava Bar Abba, Amar Evchia Bar Ashi, Amar Shmuel. There's a long line of tradition going back to Shmuel, which says, Kol hakelim shemishdamish behem chametz b'tzoynin mishdamish ben matza chutz mi beisar hoyil v'chimutz kasher. For any kli, for any container which wanted used chametz cold, you would be allowed to use or put matzah into that container, with the exception of a container which one used to create sourdough, given that sourdough is very intense. And we'll see the implications of what does it mean that sourdough is very intense, and why is it that one would not be allowed to put matzah in a container where sourdough had previously been. So we see that similar to the case in Sif Aleph, where it said that there was a problem of meat and cheese touching one another because residue might be left over, we see that there are Gemaras, or at least the Gemara earlier in Chulin Daf Ches, implies that there might be some concern with kosher food touching non-kosher food or getting non-kosher food put onto it via kalim, via utensils, not only through directly touching non-kosher food. So here the Baal HaItur comes up with an extension of the Klal in Sif Aleph. In Sif Aleph we learned you shouldn't have meat and cheese touching one another. So in a similar fashion, the Baal HaItur says you should not put meat or cheese onto a milchik or fleshik container, meaning you should not put something onto a container of the opposite gender. The Baal HaItur, however, draws a distinction between a case where normally you would wash the kli off and a case in which you would not wash the kli off. So if normally the kli is washed off, and certainly if the food in the kli is washed off, or is washed off after it's been in the kli, then it would be permissible to have the food in the kli. The Ra'ah, however, says that there are additional grounds to be more lenient by kelim than there are by meat and cheese touching one another, meaning to say that meat and cheese touching one another would clearly be problematic, but we should not extend that rule to saying that meat touching a milchik kli would be problematic. And the reason being that when meat and cheese touch one another, there's real concern that there'll be residue left over. Whereas in the case of a kli, whatever issa there was or whatever milk there was got absorbed into the kli a long time ago or at some point prior to the kosher food being put into the kli. So we noted that the itur extends the klal of the Gemara in Cholin and says that just as meat and cheese should not be touching one another, in a similar fashion, one should not put meat onto a cheese plate. The Darkei Moshe, however, the Ramah, asks a question on the Itur based on the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim says that you would be allowed to use a kli chametz, you'd be allowed to use a chametz container, which you'd use for cold chametz, to put matzen on Pesach. So that implies there's no problem of putting cold heter into a kli which had previously been used for iser or something else problematic. The Darkei Moshe offers three answers to this question. Number one, he says there might be grounds for distinction between wet foods and dry foods. The Gemara in Chulin was talking about basar. It was talking about meat. Meat, says the Ramah, is usually moist. So it would be legitimate for the Baal HaItur to extend the Gemara in Chulin, which is talking about something moist, and say that since there's moisture on meat, moisture facilitates some degree of transfer or some degree of physical transfer. However, matzah is usually dry. So the assumption is that when you're putting matzah in this kli, which had previously been used for chametz, since it's dry and the kli is dry, there won't be any transfer of substance. So that's answer number one, for where the Ramah tries to distinguish, where the Darkei Moshe tries to distinguish between the case of the Gemara in Pesachim and the Baal HaItur's Chumrah. Answer number two, says the Ramah, says the Darkei Moshe, is that chametz has its own set of rules, and perhaps in this particular case we're more lenient by chametz, but chametz and other isurim don't have the same rule book. And finally, the Darkei Moshe's third suggestion is to distinguish between a case where there was hot absorption or cold absorption. So if iser became absorbed into the kli via heat, then we'll not be allowed to use this kli for heter in the future. However, in the case of the Gemara in Pesachim, since it was used for chametz when the chametz was cold, there's no concern that the chametz is going to transfer to the matzah because there is no taste transfer or there is no absorption that happens via cold. And in the Gemara in Chulin, the cold cheese and meat touching one another simultaneously, whereas here the chametz had been inside the kli. Now the chametz is not inside the kli, and you've put in matzah, so there will be no transfer. And the Rama says that this third answer, this distinction between dov shimushay b'chamin or dov shimushay b'tzayin, whether you used the kli for hot or for cold, is the correct distinction. And that helps explain why the Baal Iter, who says that you're not meant to put milchiks inside of a flesh of kli, is not in contradiction with the Gemara Msochim, which says you are allowed to put matzah into a kli which had previously been used for chametz, because the Gemara Psochim is talking about a case where you'd use the kli for cold, whereas the Baal Iter is talking about a case where you'd use the kli for something that was hot in the past. Okay, so that is the background for this Sifah Shulchan Aruch. How does Shulchan Aruch rule? So Shulchan Aruch tells us, kol nidi debay hadacha, anything which requires hadacha, anything which you need to be rinsed off, for example, if you would put cold kosher meat inside of a plate which had been used for cold iser, then aser lechatchila, it's forbidden to do that lechatchila dilma achil beloy hadacha, because it's a concern that you might eat it without rinsing it, and maybe there was some iser residue inside of this kli. Maybe the last person who used it for iser didn't wash it out well, and there were a few molecules of pork, a few pork bits still inside of the iser kli, and those will adhere to your kosher food. And this is particularly true of food which was already cooked, meaning you're not meant to put cooked kosher food inside of an iser kli. But something which you would normally rinse, like raw meat and the like, would be permitted to put that into a iser container. The Rama adds, So the Rama says that the Shulchan Aruch's stringency here only applies to something which is a bit moist. But if the thing that you're putting into the Isser container is completely dry, if it's the case that the Isser Kli had only absorbed cold material, it had only absorbed, or it had only been used for cold food, then it would be permissible to put a dry food into the container, and you would not need to wash off this dry food before consuming it. Now we need to understand, what is the Shulchan Aruch's rationale? Why would the Shulchan Aruch say that you should not put kosher food into the non-kosher kli? First of all, the kli itself doesn't have any fat in it, and it's clean. And second, if the kosher food is cold, what's the concern? It's not going to absorb anything. So the Prichadah suggests that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a case where the kli was wiped out but not rinsed. However, the Prichadash would say that if you did rinse out the kli, then Shulchan Aruch's name would not apply, and it would be permissible to put cold food inside of the Isser kli. The Taz says there's a concern that there's Isser belua b'kli, that there might be some absorbed Isser inside of the kli, and then that's a gzera, that it could be today you put cold food inside of the Isser kli, but tomorrow you might put hot food, and the hot food is going to absorb the Isser belua, the absorbed Isser that's inside of the kli. The Shach takes the most lenient view, and he says the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a kli, a container, which had not been wiped out. However, if one wiped out the Isser container before putting the kosher food in, then it would be permissible to put the kosher food in. So instead, there's a heter that it would be permissible to put a food which would normally be rinsed inside of a kli Isser. What are the parameters of this heter? Under what circumstances would one be allowed to put a food which is normally rinsed into a kli Isser? Pischei Tshuva cites a number of opinions on this point. Prima Gadim in Mishnah Tzava Aleph says that you could put a food that would normally be rinsed inside of a wiped out kli Isser if it's the case that normally one would rinse off the kosher food. However, one would be forbidden to put this kosher food on top of a actual isser. I mean, if there's actual isser left over in a container. From the shach, though, in Sifkat and Dalid, it appears that you'd even be allowed to put this kosher food on top of an isser b'ein, even if there's a little bit of leftover non-kosher food inside of the plate, so long as the kosher food is normally washed off. Meaning to say, let's say you have a bit of raw kosher meat, and you put it into a non-kosher plate, and there might be a little bit of pork juice left over in the plate. According to the shach, that would be permissible, so long as you wash off the raw meat afterwards. The Yam Shel Shlema, the Mar Mashal, in Perek Ches of Chulin, Ois Mem Dalid, says that he takes issue with the people in his day who would eat salted vegetables in non-Jewish kelim, meaning that they would, say, have cucumbers or olives out of non-Jewish containers. This is the reason why, is that in principle you're meant to wash off food after it was put inside of a non-Jewish container. And these particular vegetables, these salty vegetables, have the status of cucumbers, which we learned in Siman Tzadivav, that hadacha, that rinsing, does not work for soft, absorbent vegetables. And in this case, since they were pickled, there's nothing you can do, and they should be aser. The Ramon Tereschatz is lenient, and he says that if somebody is at a non-Jewish guest house or non-Jewish hotel, that's considered kishasa tchak, that's considered like a pressuring situation, and therefore bid the event post facto would be mutter to have cold kosher foods from their non-Jewish containers. Finally, let's go over the psak of the Ramah, the Taz, and the Shach when it comes to under what circumstances one's allowed to put kosher food in a non-kosher container. So the Ramah rules, like he said in Darkei Moshe, that only if the kosher food is dry and the container only absorbed cold would it be permissible to put the kosher food inside of the container which had been used for non-kosher food. The Taz in Sifkat and Gimel says that the answer which distinguishes between hot and cold is the correct answer. And therefore, if you used a kli for cold food, meaning if you'd used the kli for cold iser, then it would be permissible to put either hot, dry heter inside of the kli or cold, wet heter inside of the kli. And the rationale being that in either case would they absorb any iser. The Shach in Sifkat Gimel has most lenient opinion, and he says, so long as you wash out the kli well, so long as you wash out the container well, it would be permissible to use it for cold heter. And the implication being, even if the non-kosher kli had previously been used to have hot iser inside of it, you'd still be allowed to put cold, wet heter inside. That's only true so long as you don't turn this into habit, so long as you don't use the non-kosher kli habitually. The Shach proves his point based on a sheet of Ri, which is brought in Simin, I believe, Kuf Chaf, in Yerideya, where Ri says that it would be mutter to toivel utensils of a non-Jew before you kasher them. And the reason being that one would be permitted to use his kelim for cold food. So we see very clearly from the Ri that even if they're belius of Isser, it's still permissible to use their container. A final point, which comes up a bit tangentially in our Sif, is the question of using kli cheres, using earthenware containers. So wouldn't you be allowed to put kosher food, cold kosher food, into an earthenware container which had previously absorbed Isser? So on this point, the Gemara Psochim, the Flam Midbeis, is as follows. Amar Rava by Abba Amar Vechia by Ashi Amar Shmuel. There's a tradition going back to Shmuel. Kol HaKelim Shnishdam Shabahen Chometz B'tzoynin. Any kli, any container which was used for cold chometz, Mishdamish Bahen Matzah, one can use to eat matzah, Chutz Ben Beis Sar, with the exception of a container in which one had had sourdough, Hoyil Vechimutze Kosha, given that sourdough has a very intense property of chametz, and Amrev Ashiu Beis Charesis ki Beis Seor Shechimutzei Kosher Dami. A Beis Charesis, which is some container which held intense spices, also has the same status as a Beis Seor, that its chametz would be very, very absorptive. Now, the Rosh on this Gemara observes that it would be permissible to even have hot matzah, or hot matzah food, hot food on Pesach, inside of this container, which had been used for cold chametz all year long, given that there is no absorption from the cold container. Now, interestingly, many Rishonim, including the Rif on Pesach of the Tesam and Aleph, and the Rambam, both understand that this Gemara is talking about particularly Kli Cheres, earthenware containers, that even if the container were an earthenware container, earthenware containers are more problematic than metal containers because earthenware cannot be kashered. If you use the earthenware container for cold chametz all year long, you'd be allowed to use it for matzah on Pesach. Shulchan Aruch in Simin Tofnun Aleph Sif Chof Beis in Shulchan Aruch Erechaim rules that it would be permissible to put cold food, to put cold heter inside of a Kli Cheres which had been previously used for Esser. Shach says that given Kli Cheres' greater stringency, though, given that Kli Cheres is harder to kasher, one should at least wash out the Kli Cheres before they use the Kli Cheres, and before putting the kosher food into Kli Cheres, in contrast to other kelim, which would be sufficient to only wipe out. Chavz Das says that you should wash the Kli out well. And finally, Pri Chodosh says that one should be machmir, and one should not use a Kli Cheres for kosher food, because they're concerned that if you use it for cold kosher food now, you might come to use it for a hot kosher food in the future, and thereby treif up the kosher food.